Hey everybody, I'm Bobby Salveson.
And I'm Michael Monaco, and together we are the Hazmat Guys, connecting the Hazmat community near and far with knowledge, insight, and real-world examples in an effort to make your job just a little bit easier and safer.
Now, let's take a minute to hear from today's sponsors. Hey Mike, let me ask you, have you ever heard about the bar method?
Have not, but it sure sounds like fun. What does it mean?
Well, probably not what you think it stands for, but what they mean is blot, apply, and remove. It's the new way to remember the steps to conduct hybrid decon.
Okay, I'm listening.
Well, with the threats continuing to evolve, our SOPs do as well. And First Line Technology introduced us to the BAR method. It's backed by science and real-world application. This method of blot, apply, and remove is faster, safer, and more effective method to decon.
Is it going to work for both wet and dry?
Well, yeah, absolutely. The methodology forces you to consider the who, what, when, and where before determining what materials you will be used to carry out the necessary actions. It helps you to tailor your decon to the threats you're facing.
This could be exactly the thing I need to train my team on. How can I get more info?
Well, First Line's EDS kit has everything you need to conduct the hybrid decon for large or small missions. To learn about the kit and how to apply this BAR method, visit www.firstlinetech.com/EDS. You know, it's time to rethink your level A protection. Multi-threat suits made of lightweight Gore Chempak Ultra Barrier Fabric are part of the most functional non-encapsulated level A ensembles that bring an essential modernization to hazmat PPE. Certified NFPA 1994 Class 1 suits with Gore Chempak Ultra Barrier Fabric offer unencumbered movement, increased range of motion, improved peripheral visibility, excellent dexterity, and reduced heat stress so you can stay engaged longer. You can learn more at GoreTexProfessional.com. Let's get to the show.
Hello.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hazmat Guys. I'm Michael Monaco.
I am Bobby. How are you guys all doing out there in Hazmat Land, whatever the hell you are?
Hazmat. Yeah. Virtual Hazmat Land. I don't know. What is the podcast world say?
I don't know.
where are we sending our lovely subscribers and listeners to? Like, what do we call them? Listeners?
I don't know. I creeps. How's that?
Creeps. Yeah. Well, hey, listen.
We'll call them creeps. Well, you know what? Listen, I we do this in every show, and we're trying something a little different. The 34th annual Midwest Hazmat Conference will be presented virtually starting on May 6th, 2022. All the presentations will be available on demand for the entire month, so you can watch them whenever you want, as many times as you want. The fee is only $100 for 50 presentations, 75 plus hours of first-class training by the top hazmat instructors, and is eligible for HMEP 80-20 grant funding. So that means your final cost is $20. So you can download the conference brochure and register at emorysafety.com. And if you want to mention your conference, even if we are not speaking, contact the COSCH, COSCH, at the Hazmat Guys for more info. This gets you here on the shows and the newsletter and a few other places for good measure. Additionally, we have Cold Zone, that is May 11th.
Right.
And then we have Baltimore, June 8th.
Is that the 8th?
It's 8, 9, 10, 11. I know it's done on the 11th because it's a very important date in my calendar. And if she hears that, she will understand.
Yes.
She's probably listening to me through the phone.
My date was the 16th, and for the first few years that we did it, it always landed on the 16th. Nevertheless, to say I no longer have that date. So,
well, you got Baltimore, and then we're looking into Virginia, which is in September. I know we're getting a little further out, but then you got Massachusetts, September 20th, and that's the one I like to enjoy myself at.
Yeah, there's only two conferences that me and Bob will like absolutely attend together, because there's just so much other ones that we just have
it's
to.
Too many.
It's too many. And that's Springfield, not Springfield. Plymouth. I'm like Springfield, Massachusetts. That's Plymouth, which is going to be at Plymouth again.
Plymouth last year, I believe.
This would be the, I feel like we've been saying that for 3 years, now.
6 or 7 years. Yeah. Now.
They're just waiting for the rock to become the pebble, you know, and then we'll go. But no, definitely by far one of our favorites. And then Baltimore, just because there's just so much going on.
So many things. So this is actually take two of this one show.
It
we had
is
some technical difficulties, and we had a reboot, and we are charged up and ready to go.
Yeah, we are, and it's kind of. I'm gonna want to talk a little bit some of the observations from the escape room, and don't worry, this has nothing to do with the actual escape room itself. So nobody's gonna be able to get like a head start, a head jump, or figure anything out.
It's also this is not the fake one.
No, this is like the actual escape room. Yeah,
there's a fake one that's running around out there on the circuit. Don't be fooled, friends.
Yeah, a copycat. Total copycat. But listen, well, you know what? Hey, listen, go do both of them. And if you think somebody can do better than us, you know.
I heard it stinks.
Really?
I heard it stinks.
Hold on, let me take out my shocked face. Okay. Did you see that shocked face? Was that my shock? I don't know. Yeah.
If you're watching a video, you saw it, and it was glorious. It was.
Oh man. I was just up in Wisconsin. No.
Yes.
Yeah. Minnesota. Yeah. No.
I don't know. I don't know where you were anymore.
I don't know. I don't know where I was. What's the one with it juts up and then it's Michigan.
Michigan. Correct.
Michigan. Okay.
And that's where we did this hazmat escape room.
Yes, that's where we did the hazmat escape room. We ran a whole bunch of them. Listen, great conference. If you guys are looking to kind of do a little getaway, wow, what a cool, like just a cool little, like the hotel was almost like a village, which was the first time I've ever seen something like that. So that was pretty cool. Keep that in mind for next year, guys. But very interesting, the human dynamics. I sat, Daryl came in for one of the classes, and we were just kind of BSing and watching, and we were really just kind of like picking apart the human dynamics, which, you know, everybody thinks, and it is a hands-on escape room. You're using your skills, you're using your knowledge, but the hot wash has nothing to do with any of that stuff.
No.
And so some of the things that you see in the dynamics are the same things that fall apart on scene. And so just to kind of go through some of those, talking a little bit more about one of my favorite topics, which is the confirmation bias, and then the communication, and like the, and I hate to say it like this, because really I freaking sound like a Generation Z little snowflake when I talk like this, and it's horrible, but the ability to actively listen and to make sure that everybody is being heard, and how to address every single person's opinion in a non-safe place. I don't want to make this a safe place.
No, absolutely not.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. And it for sure was not a safe place up there. There was definitely some non-safe activities going on. But so a couple of one of the things that I had noticed. So when we arrive on scene to a hazmat run, we generally kind of start a recon. Right. That's kind of we want to gather information. So same thing happens in the escape room. Right. Everybody starts to gather information. But here's always what happens. People break off into little separate groups, and they start going around and they start looking at stuff. And among each other, they're looking through and they're like, oh, look at this. There's this and this and this. And oh, wow. What do you think this little mark means? I bet you that's something. Let's put it off to the side. But it never goes beyond their little group.
Right, they're sharing in that little click.
Yeah, that little click, and the group has all the information, but nobody is sharing information.
Right,
and the only time, listen, the first box averaged 35 minutes.
So everybody understands, like this is your. If you went with your significant other to a real escape room, This is incredibly esque of that. Like you're in a conference room, and yet we have portabilized and brought that whole experience into this room with you, and you're locked in, quote unquote, with 20 other people that are, you know, technician, operation, whatever they are. Right. And your job is to figure out all the clues and get through all the locks to get out of the room. Right. And you're saying that the first box took 35 minutes on average. What do you think it was? Was it them figuring out the flow of the game, or do you think it was a communication step down, or what was
it? No, because I made sure that the game didn't get in the way, right? Like, so I would read the directions,
right?
And then if they were going in a total wrong direction, like, I don't want them to go in a total wrong direction. Like, I want them to do the game. No. So I would sit there and I'd be like, listen, guys, remember what I said? You're correcting his mistakes. And then they would go, okay, correcting his mistakes. And then if those little groups got together and started sharing information, then ideas would be clicking back and forth among people and the ball would start get rolling. But it took a half an hour for those clicks, those separate little clicks, to start to come together to share the information. That was the part that was really separating. And then if they got together, then you had to be careful of the one loud person in the group who, like, thought they controlled everything. If that one person was able to actually hear and listen to everybody's thought process, everything went smoothly. But if they just ignored them and plowed ahead with their idea, then the whole game stalled for another 30, 40 minutes.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was really remarkable, because that was the hot wash at the end, was how are you guys communicating? Like, why, what if we set up an incident command style system,
mm-hmm.
right? And you guys all know kind of how I feel about, you know, the incident commander not having hazmat knowledge and how hazmat's flipped and reversed and stuff like that. But still, that system was developed to flow information, and the groups that came together and information flew up and down and left and right were able to really go through everything very quickly. They may have been wrong at first, but they corrected the mistakes quickly and they were able to backtrack and restart and go down a different theory. Whereas the people that didn't communicate both up and sideways, instead of realizing that their thought process or theory was wrong, they just pushed ahead harder and tried to force it to work.
Okay. I'm curious to see. All right. So in the initial sussing out phase, you have 20, we'll say, relative strangers. You might have guys, two guys from this team, two guys from that team, two guys from this team, five guys from that team, whatever it might be. Did you find that anybody pulled rank? Or was there a natural filtering out of those alpha guys? Or did the people with the buffiest jackets and the most patches jump up to the top? Or was it just the most intelligent guy?
If you didn't hear yet, we are transitioning to a new format that is going to give you, the listener, even more content.
Yeah, for example, in our technician and specialist levels, we are adding even more video content, access to our entire show catalog, and even access to a monthly small group Q&A session to answer any questions that come up, as well as so much more.
All of this for less than a cup of coffee that you premium snobs like to drink for the entire month of access.
This is the stuff that you've been asking for. So take a look at what we can do to take you to the next level of hazmat.
Go to our website, thehazmatguys.com. You can sign up for our premium tiers that will give you even more hazmat goodness. It was hard to tell. It was usually the loudest and the one who thought they were right the most.
Hmm.
And they often derailed everything. And then when somebody would try to right the train, poof, they would smack it right off the track. And then what would happen is they just pushed so hard for so long and were so wrong that then other people stepped up and were like, all right, wait, let's just, this isn't working. And then that person would instantly take like a back seat and never participated anymore. Whereas the groups that came together quicker first and communicated better and information went up and across at the same time, everybody stayed active the entire game.
I love how, and again, this is kind of the motif of the whole thing, is that it's a mini, I don't know how to say it, mini operation.
It is a mini operation. I mean, you're literally doing a mini operation.
Yeah.
So you the whole point, right, is to set up that incident command. It is a communications drill almost above anything else. And when you have all these things come together, we have created a very complex operation with a lot of moving parts, and there's a lot of different jobs for everybody to do. And when that incident command system was set up and there was somebody that was directing people and then somebody who was gathering information, and when there was somebody who was a scribe and wrote down people's ideas, and then those ideas went up the chain of command, and the incident commander was like, okay, well, what do we think about this idea? And I'm not going to give away any of the ideas, right? But it's like, and then everybody would talk about, this was one group. One group did this and they did phenomenal. They would talk about that one idea. Okay, guys, what do you think about this? Do you think that's a possibility? Well, it might be because of this. Okay, well, I don't think it is because of this, and this doesn't make sense. And he'd be like, okay, and he'd put like a check mark next to it and then move on to the next idea. So everybody's idea in that group was addressed, which really allowed for thorough and accurate communication.
As opposed to those stifling ones where either the incident commander will say, for the sake of argument, doesn't want to hear ideas. You know, we were riding around, allegedly, we were riding around in the rig today, and I may have mentioned to somebody that Haz's materials is extraordinarily weird to be in as an officer, because you could be the most badass. I've gone to 70 billion fires and you are the coolest cucumber on any fire scene. You've been in shootouts and stabbings and it doesn't matter. And then I plop you in the officer seat of the hazmat company and you are the most useless tool we have on the rig. And to be somebody that is so ingrained in, like, I got it.
Right.
And you're like, you're sitting there going, I am so outgunned that the weakest link on this rig is five times better than I am. And they're still saying, well, I make the calls. You are, like, those people have to, like, in this escape room, I would love to see and just watch. You know what might be? Oh, I just had a great idea. I got to write that down.
Okay.
I'm writing this down because I don't want to. Okay, got it. Is that, you know, you want to kind of sit as the fly on the wall as a, let's say, a chief or whatever, and see how your people work. Because if they're not doing it here, they're not doing it in the street.
Right.
This is their natural operation. And people, you know, water finds its levels. You know, tigers don't lose their stripes, as they say, and people don't change. And when you go, no, I'm going to go in there cool as a cucumber, as soon as the stress starts ratcheting up, you go back to your normal operation and you start barking at people and people start resenting and they go back into the turtle shells and they say, you know what, I'm not helping this operation. You see the entire operation fall apart.
Yeah.
It's almost like I would love to like invite not even psychology students, but sociology students in to say, okay, we like have the double mirror, you know, and everybody's sitting behind it with like lab coats on and taking notes and stuff like that and watching the whole thing. I think it would be an interesting. It has nothing to do with hazmat.
Nothing.
That whole dynamic is what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And we sat, I mean, we literally picked apart the one class that Daryl was, you know, came in and hung out with me. We just, you know, we just watched. We just people watched. Like, we were just people watching. And it was amazing. And then some would repeat, and then the directions were just not followed. And there was one class that I was like, you guys would have opened the box, but you didn't follow the directions. Like, the directions were really clear. You know, once you're done with a prop, you're done with the prop. I said it three or four times. And they're right. They're still insisting on going to the old props to find clues. And I was like, okay. They opened one box.
Yeah, and that's where logistics comes in.
Yep.
You know, I don't even know. Is it staging? I think it's logistics. It could be. I don't know. Nobody cares.
I think it would be logistics. But I mean, for the most part, you got to know when you've and on scene, you have to know when you've squeezed all the information out of the juice, right? Like, you have to know when. All right, I've looked at this. Right, it's green. It's got this. I've described everything. Like, there's only so much information I could pull out of what I'm holding.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what I'm holding, well, then sign up for one of our premium levels and you'll be able to watch this video. But, you know, how much information can you really pull out of this? If you try to pull more information than what's there, then you're wasting your time. So
you
got
to get lost.
You got to know when to be like, okay, I've gotten everything I can out of this. Move it off to the side. You know, these are every single aspect of this escape room has elements at a scene. There's lessons to be learned in how you operate, how you communicate, how you work well with others, how you take on information. There was one team. Now we have jars. Actually, we don't have jars anymore. That's a whole story. I had to throw them away to get on the airplane.
All right. Well, anyway. We'll circle back on that.
Yeah. But the jars, you know, have information on them. And it was 31 minutes before anyone actually looked at the labels on the jars. And I was like, at the end of the hot wash, I was like, so you got a material. You don't look at the label. You don't look at the container. You don't look at the, like, you know? And they were like, yeah, you're right. And then one woman who was the kind of like the know-it-all chemist who continuously derailed everything.
Listen, Christina Baxter is not that bad.
No, she wasn't there.
Okay.
It was her partner in the Hazard 3 crime was there. So Gary was there. It wasn't her. But they were like, well, this can't be because this label doesn't match this chemical physical property, you know, like, and I was like, okay, all right, you're right. Like, you you expected that it was labeled nitric acid. You dipped it and you realized it wasn't, because we trust the label over our meters.
Right.
Right. Like, don't we always say that we're trying to confirm or deny what we know or what we don't know? Yes. So if it says nitric acid, I'm not just going to take its word that it's nitric acid. I will treat it like nitric acid, but right. I'm not going to guarantee that. I'm not going to for sure know that it's nitric acid. I'm going to test it. If it's hydrofluoric acid, I'm going to pH it, and then I'm going to test it for fluoride. And then, you know, like, I'm going to confirm what I think I know. I'm looking to either confirm or deny. And she just was like, oh. I was like, well, I don't, you know, like, this is basic hazmat operations that we sometimes they no longer become basic.
Yeah, I like this. You know what? This concept is so good for the classroom.
Yeah, and it'll get even better once you know, we're partnering with Argon Electronics, and we're going to have some insanely good meters added to the escape room.
Oh my God.
We have a special sponsor for Baltimore, their meters will be used in the escape room. So it's Baltimore is going to be just a phenomenal. I mean, it's going to be
Yeah.
Well, we might be running it. We might be running it in our hotel room at night afterwards.
Yes, watching the Orioles game, which I'm told is a foosball or baseball or whatever the hell they do right outside the door. So
if we set up a 2-hour game with a shot every 15 minutes.
Oh yes.
And then videotape it. And then videotape it, right.
And every then play 15, it tomorrow.
Yeah.
I would put on a whole 90-minute show of just that.
Yeah, I think that would be phenomenal.
Oh, that's so good.
I think we might have to do that one night.
I love it. This is great. This is an awesome idea because it does so much.
I had three people in the back of the room that started the last class. I had three people that started. There was more people that started, but specifically three people in the back. And it started, and all the guys get up, and these women are sitting in the back, and I'm like, "You guys aren't like participating?" And they're like, "Oh no, we're auditing." And I was like, "Okay, cool." I'm like, "Auditing for what? Like, are you guys grants? You know, like just trying to figure out." And they're like, "No, we want to figure out how we can incorporate something like this into our training." And I was like, "Okay, cool. Like, sit and watch." And when we were all done, I was like, "You know, like, listen, like, we can literally take whatever you want to do as a refresher. We can literally take anything, plug it in, and create a room." And I handed them the cards, and I'm like, "Give us a ring. We'll build you in a refresher training escape room." Like, that's,
I love it.
You know, that's easy.
That's something we can do.
Yeah, they were really impressed by it. They were impressed that we were doing hands-on stuff, that it was just everything all in one. And they were so impressed with how every single person was engaged 100% of the time. You know, we're most of us are alpha or B plus, beta plus personalities, right? So we all like, I mean, you throw a little competition in there and guys are you know, they're ready to kill each other to open the next box.
Yeah. So, I love it. All right, man. That was great. And we have more stuff coming to you guys very shortly because me and Mike are going to collaborate, I think, this weekend on a new concept that's going to be rolled out, I believe, at Baltimore as well. That's going to be, I think, pretty cool. I've been waiting to figure out how to put it together, and we will debut it there. So without any further ado.
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 Well, that wraps up another episode of the Hazmat Guys. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, and our YouTube channel. And don't be afraid to use that like or follow button. Or
you can sign up for even more content from us at thehazmatguys.com. Here, you can subscribe so that we can connect you to even more great stuff. Your support is going to help us improve and build this awesome community even more.
Yeah, and if you want to get to the next level, you won't want to miss our premium content. Our specialist level provides you with access to our entire catalog of shows, which is now over 300, an exclusive Facebook group, premium video with no ads, and so much more. Also, check the Hazmat Guys University link on our website.
And don't forget, we are always interested in hearing about incidences or calls that you have experienced. We may bring you on the show to share that story. Reach us at feedback@thehazmatguys.com.
And remember, folks, don't just get on the job, get into the job.